If you've been told to pull up your socks, then make sure it's a pair of TNT socks. The TNT shop is now open at TNTRadio.live. This is the Chris Smith Show on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
G'day, g'day. Welcome to the program. It is good to have your company on this Hump Day Wednesday. That is, of course, if you don't work the weekend. But everyone I speak to nowadays works some part of the weekend, so maybe Hump Day is kind of redundant nowadays. But it is officially March the 20th, 2024, and it's really good to have your company. Thanks for joining us. Well, he's never far away from a headline. As a matter of fact, some days he's never far away from several headlines in all parts of the world. And now Donald Trump has remarkably gone on UK television to, among other things, bag Australia's ambassador to the United States, the former Prime Minister, Kevin Rudd. It is a juicy story, given the fact that Kevin has always shown a predilection to disrespect Donald Trump. And yet there he is, just about to become president once again in November. And the reality is that after today's words and that interview with Nigel Farage, it could be that you look at November, you look at a new president, and all of a sudden, Rudd could be kicked out of America. Won't that be a battering to his monstrous ego for poor old Kevin, Kevin 07? We'll talk about that with our two star Australian commentators today, Prue McSween and Jason Morrison. They have plenty to say on this latest diplomatic incident. And it is, when you think about how close Donald Trump is now to the White House. And don't forget, when he gets a bee in his bonnet, he usually squashes it. So watch out, Kevin. And I'm looking forward to hearing what Kevin has to say. No doubt he'll use what has gone on UK TV to reply, and that will probably come in around about 6 hours from now, so we'll see. Donald has also had a go at Prince Harry and his drug taking. Could we see Prince Harry thrown out of the country too? These are wonderful side issues. They're not integral to what will make the presidency, but they are wonderful side issues. We'll also talk about the latest nuclear project about to begin construction in Wyoming, USA, funded by green billionaire Bill Gates. Now, you know why Bill Gates is behind nuclear? Because he knows, as most who understand the new nuclear technology, that nuclear can supply baseload power. You don't get any of that nasty CO2, if of course CO2 is supposed to be nasty. And the other thing is, he has no confidence in baseload power being supplied by renewables alone, which of course flies in the face of everything we've heard from the Australian government. And it's a wonderful example, this project in Wyoming, to prove that Australian Climate Change Minister Chris Bowen doesn't have a clue what's going on in other parts of the world in reference to the new nuclear technology. He talks about nuclear power reactors having to be cooled by water. No. That is old technology, Minister. You obviously haven't caught up. Have you actually had a telephone conversation with Bill Gates recently? Well, you should. But anyway, they'll continue to put their heads in the sand. Hopefully the news that has been published in one only Australian newspaper today about what's happening at Wyoming will actually seep through the thick heads of some of those in government, including Chris Bowen, because Bowen and the rest of them think that we can rely solely on renewables for baseload power. And anyone who knows the sector at all tells them that that can't happen. And it hasn't happened anywhere else in the world. We'll also discuss this discrimination case in Tasmania. This is a doozy. It's a debate over whether art and an art gallery there can be discriminatory. It's got a bizarre twist in the tail, this story as well. We'll get to that. And who said Australian schools were all drowning in a sea of wokeness? Well, that would be me and just about every other commentator that I've had on this program. But a school principal in Sydney has written to his parents, as in the parents of his students, about the trap of wokeness for young white men. How refreshing is this? Not so politically correct, at least in one school. And I do hope that other schools take the hint and do the same. Also today, our cyber guru, Alex Zaharoff-Reut, he will join us. We'll talk all the big tech news and AI news as well, including a joint venture between, would you believe, Apple and Google. I would have thought that they are as, you know, not arch enemies, but certainly opponents in this space, but they have teamed up for a joint venture. We'll find out about that because that's not what Apple usually does. Plus, let's get those talkback lines ringing. I want to hear from you today. Don't sit back and leave it to someone else because you've probably got a better view than most people that we hear. So come and have your say on the biggest stories in Australia or even around the world. You can do so from the United States or Canada on 1-888-201-6425. Would you like to see Donald Trump take over in November and get rid of Prince Harry from California? I don't know whether he can even do that, but there are federal jurisdictions over a breach of visa, and the admission of drug taking might be a breach of the visa. Technically, I doubt whether the California governor will attempt the same thing. From the UK, you can call on 0330241026. Did you hear the interview in full between Donald Trump and Nigel Farage on Farage's radio station? Well, it's a television station as well, just like TNT. It's called GB News. Did you hear it all in its entirety? What did you make of Trump? He was very Trump-esque, let me tell you. And from Australia and New Zealand, you can call us on 1-800-670-310. Let's get the show on the road. You're with Chris Smith. We're broadcasting live on the Global News Talk Network. This is TNT.
It's the stuff.
What citizen wouldn't want to make American great again?
People are talking about.
Vilifying MAGA, it's just not going to work.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Pelly writes in our chat box, which you can find and also contribute to on tntradio.live. Pelly says, I'd like Trump to get rid of Kevin Rudd. There you go. Well, by the sound of it, Pelly, that's exactly what might happen come November. Okay, let's talk nuclear. Even better, let's talk nuclear facts, not fiction. Because the more I hear from the Australian Climate Change Minister, the more I realise that Chris Bowen is beating up on nuclear technology with a forked tongue over and over and over again. I keep hearing how terrible it would be for the federal government to lift the ban on nuclear power in this country. He repeated that yesterday. Oh, we don't want to give the wrong message. They keep saying it would send the wrong signal. That's the standard line from any Labor minister. It'll send the wrong signal if we lifted the ban on nuclear energy, that the government was somehow open to supporting and funding nuclear projects. We can't have that. That's straight out of the mouth of Chris Bowen and others in the federal government. We can't have that. Look how they are subsidising renewables. That's just political BS. They finance renewables to the tune of close to $10 billion per year. And a little bit more if you want to take in a few other funds that are available for investors. They are now even prepared to prop up companies whose renewable projects go bust. So they're virtually guaranteeing becoming a guarantor on some of these business projects. Hello? And they don't want nuclear projects to get any government money. It's a bottomless pit, the whole renewable drama. It's unreliable. We know that. It's an expensive form of power when you consider you've got to lay down $120 billion in transmission lines. So don't listen to anyone, especially the climate change minister, when he starts to say, oh, it's cheap power. And the other point is the agreement between the Coalition and the Greens back in 1999 to place a ban on nuclear energy, and I said this yesterday on the program, was at the end of a horse trading process, which was done because it was agreed unanimously that coal was here to stay. So basically, John Howard said, well, you won't get in the way of our coal industry, will you? No, said Bob Brown. So in 1999, they signed the ban on nuclear energy. Well, all bets should be off Coal is not here to stay, according to the current government, according even to the previous government. So we need to find reliable baseload power, which is a task that the government refuses to even undertake. Here's Chris Bowen recently on the ABC.
I've had no one knock on my door to say I want to build a nuclear power plant in Australia. But I've had plenty of the world's biggest renewable companies through my door. This is not happening. There's a myth that this is happening elsewhere in the world. It's not. Australia has the best renewable resources in the world. It would be a massive economic own goal to give up utilising those resources and to go down this nuclear fantasy.
I'll get to the so-called myth about nuclear not happening around the world in just a second. But he's had no one knock on his door because the law states that it's illegal to use uranium for power. Of course they're not knocking on his door. Why would they come with a proposal when the law says they can't have a proposal? And they certainly can't do it. That's why no one's knocked on his door. And renewable investors knock on his door because they're going to be guaranteed if it goes bust. And the likes of Cannon Brooks and Forrest, they know that. So that's why they're knocking on the door every 5 minutes. I've got another renewable energy project for you. And this garbage about the world not going down the nuclear route is just a blatant lie. He is a liar. All you got to do is pick up the Australian Financial Review today, latest story, and see how the world's greenest billionaire, Bill Gates, is building a small nuclear reactor in Wyoming, which has a major coal-fired power station in its town, right? So it's known for its coal. Gates's company, TerraPower, will put its first shovel into the ground this June, not far away, which will begin a race with Russia and China to develop and export low-cost reactors, according to the Australian Financial Review. Now, the Gates model is cooled not with water. The minister thinks you've got to use water, so you've got to put it near the coast, and there are no communities near the coast that would have it. We should remind him there is a nuclear reactor in the suburbs of Sydney in Lucas Heights. But the Gates model is cooled with liquid sodium, drums of liquid sodium, that's how it's cooled, rather than water, which cuts the cost in half. That's where the technology is going. They're finding other ways to cool these reactors, and they're doing it cheaply. And it's a project jointly funded by private cash and government funds, jointly, not a government project. This is the kind of project that a task force on nuclear developed in Australia could learn from. In fact, the vacuous Chris Bowen could learn a hell of a lot from Gates's general argument about nuclear.
People are realizing that you need, you know, almost three times as much electricity, even in rich countries, and then in poor countries to enable their economies, you need dramatic increases even beyond that. And so if they look at that and say, oh, we also want it to be reliable, that is when it's super cold, we still want, if you have electric heating, that to work. When it's super hot, we want air conditioning to work. And unfortunately, the solar and wind, which will play a gigantic role, trying to use that alone without a miracle in storage that we don't expect at all, it just doesn't create the solution. And so having a non-weather dependent, you know, completely green, reliable form of energy generation that can be cheap enough means that there will really have to be some nuclear in that equation.
There you have it. Now, this bloke's a green con man. We know that. Put that aside for a second. This is an exercise in education. Minister Bowen needs to listen to that 1 minute snippet once again. We will need three times more baseload power. Well, I've had experts on here say five to six, but let's say it's three times and my experts are wrong. This is three times more than what we have now. So it's not just a case of getting rid of coal-fired and gas-fired power plants, which is what we're doing. We need three times more power on top of replacing all of that. Where's that coming from? Gates knows that renewables are not reliable and they can't be used alone for baseload power. the exact opposite of what Labor thinks can be achieved. And don't even mention storage. As Gates said there, the miracle is not coming in storage. The miracle is not coming. The other obvious advantage is that by placing a nuclear plant in a coal region like Wyoming in the US, you are automatically linked to the existing grid. Unlike renewables, which in Australia will require, and this is out of the mouth of Chris Bowen, not out of anyone else's mouth, $120 billion to replicate a new transmission network. And of course, government estimates are never wrong. It'll only be $120 billion, right? Yeah, sure. Meanwhile, another billionaire, Warren Buffett, he is planning on deploying another five of Gates's reactors by 2035. These are highly successful billionaires. One last word for Mr. Bowen from Bill.
Designing a reliable grid that takes the nuclear piece and that renewable piece, that's an incredible opportunity, and we need to do it.
We need to do it, but not in Australia. Oh, no. We won't even lift the nuclear energy ban. Oh, we won't do that. Or even investigate, set up a task force and investigate the feasibility of all of this new and very promising technology, which is being investigated right now by 40 of the richest countries in the world. What's the old joke about landing in Australia from another country? The pilot says, "Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Australia. Please turn your clocks back 35 years. How appropriate. This is TNT.
TNT's James Freeman.
Now that I'm sitting on the other side of the fence, I see the budget in a very different light. I find the discussions and leaks in the press in the weeks running up to the budget totally patronising. You know, will he, won't he, give us some tax cuts? When the reality is that nothing in the budget will make any material difference to anyone, pretty much. That's usually the story. It is a game of musical chairs where the government giveth with one hand and taketh with the other. And we're all reminded about how little money that we've got left in our pockets.
James Freeman on today's News Talk, TNT. A better business tip from TNT Radio. One reason people tune in to TNT Radio is often because they're loyal to a specific show or personality. Our personalities have been a part of people's daily routine, and people continue to tune in.
They trust TNT Radio
and are highly engaged with the content. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live.
It sounds pretty good.
It sounds real, dude.
Not bad, huh?
This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Well, Donald Trump has taken a swipe at the former Australian Prime Minister Kevin Rudd, calling him nasty and claiming he won't be there long as Australian ambassador to the United States. To discuss Trump's hatred for Kevin 07 and a whole lot more making headlines today, I'm joined by Prue McSween, founder and director at Verve Communications. Prue McSween, welcome to TNT.
Thanks, Smithy. Isn't this juicy? I just love the fact that Trump is sticking it up this pompous asshole, this rudster that has proven himself to be inept, useless, full of himself, and the chickens are coming home to roost. So finger-licking Rudd is what it's going to be. I tell you, you know, he is really so pompous. Yep. And so stupid. And the fact that Albanese, and he probably did it to just get rid of Trump. He probably wanted him out of this country so he wouldn't interfere with his political sort of acumen. But the point is that Rudd is just dangerous to have there. He's trying to do the big backpedal now, suggesting that it was all an exaggeration. And you know, look at what I can bring to it. And he's sucking up to every Republican he can. And, of course, even Joe Hockey, who was a good administrator and had a great reputation over there as our ambassador, is sticking up for Rudd and saying, oh, well, you know, he's winning some hearts and minds. Well, you know, frankly, that doesn't cut it. And I know that Trump has got a long list of people to get even with, but surely he could just spare a few minutes to get rid of that little flea, Rudd, because between him And of course, our trade minister, who doesn't really think that America is a very close ally. I mean, they're doing so much danger to this country, and we just don't need them. And they're the ones who'll be crying poor and in the fetal position when China comes across the Pacific. And they'll be the first one on speed dial to America to say, come and help us. You know, it's just a
very
joke.
Very true. Let's play the audio or play the clip for those who haven't seen or heard it. Donald Trump, he's thrown a spanner in the works by saying that he's nasty, Kevin. At least he knows what sort of a person Kevin Rudd is. He said this to GB News host Nigel Farage.
The AUKUS deal that's in place on nuclear submarines, America, you know, the UK, Australia, very, very important deal. It's there to try and combat that huge growth, naval growth in China. But now, of course, things have changed in Australia. We've got a Labour government in Australia. The previous ambassador, Joe Hockey, I think was quite a good friend of yours. You got on pretty well with him. Now they've appointed Kevin Rudd, former Labour MP. I mean, he has said the most horrible things. You were a destructive president, a traitor to the West. And he's now Australia's ambassador in Washington.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
Would you take a phone call from him?
He won't be there long if that's the case. I don't know much about him. I heard he was a little bit nasty. I hear he's not the brightest bulb, but I don't know much about him. But if he's at all hostile, he will not be there long.
But he's been hostile to Donald Trump before. You know, he's very good at putting down those who are more colourful than he is. And he's done that before. I bet Trump knows about that. He says he's not the brightest bulb. I like that phraseology. And I can't see him lasting beyond November 8, can you?
No, neither can I. I mean, talk about a light bulb. I mean, he wouldn't hold a torch to Trump. I mean, Trump, he'll carve the dude up. Kevin's sphincter is going to go 19 to the dozen. And frankly, I want to be there to watch it. Won't it be hilarious? He'll be out that door on the first Qantas flight out, sucking his thumb. And of course, Albanese's got to deal with that fallout, you know, and try and mend fences. Because let's face it, Labor has not been a great friend to America either. You know, they're sucking up to China as fast as they can. They're stuffing up. They've made no progress on the AUKUS commitment. Where are we going to put our nuclear waste? They're still stuffing around. That will take years if we can ever get in this vast land a place when we cut through all the green, the indigenous tape, the red tape. It's going to be impossible for us to find a place to land that nuclear waste.
The indigenous tape. I've never thought about that when I've discussed getting rid of waste. Now, the new technology, there's two lots of technology that reduces the waste that usually comes out of a nuclear reactor. And there's another technology they're working on, so I've been told by an engineer in nuclear, that doesn't produce waste. Well, it does, but you can actually recycle the waste within the reactor. So it never produces. So you never produces waste at all. But I couldn't understand why, in the vast deserts of Australia, Prue, you couldn't put it 500 metres under the ground in a desert cave somewhere. Even a 747 jumbo jet crashing on the site couldn't reach it. Like, seriously, it's just a dumb, scaredy cat kind of approach to something that even Bob Hawke thought that we could make millions and millions of dollars from, storing nuclear waste. But anyway, I want to talk about Trump, still on Trump. He also spoke about Prince Harry's admitted drug use. And I get the feeling that if he's not careful, the 47th president might kick him out of the country.
Well, he just might, and he might deserve to be kicked out. But the only thing I can say is that when you look at Trump, it's the same with, you know, the reptile Keating and Albanese. All these so-called anti-monarchists fall over themselves when they met the Queen, they have royalty. So I think that Trump actually got charmed by the Queen, and I think that, you know, because it's her grandson, I don't know what his relationship is with Charles, but I would be surprised, in fact, if he did that purely on that basis. And of course, you know, I mean, Meghan was a Z grade celebrity, but she was still a celebrity. So maybe he may give Harry a bit of a go and a blind eye, but we will see. It's all fascinating. Where will Harry land then? He might come over here. He could be maybe
as long as he becomes alone.
Oh, God, she wouldn't be welcome anywhere, would she? She's no. going to find it very hard. She'll have to dig some hole somewhere and crawl into it.
I wonder whether you've got some comments to make about what I had to say at the start of the program. The world is going down the small nuclear reactor track. Everyone is very interested in where the technology is going. Russia and China already use these. Gates and Buffett are sold, as I've explained, but dumb old quivering Australia can't get out from under the desk, Prue.
Well, this is just going to tell you again, if you need reminding, how pathetic and one-eyed and really anti-Australian this government is, that they will not even have a discussion about it. They are so locked in. You have to start wondering why. Who's getting what from whom? Why are they so obsessed with these renewables that they're prepared to sap our tax dollars with subsidies? God knows how much money has been going one way to all these international companies who are bringing this renewable obsession to life here. We know that they've buried the cost of the transmission lines. Mm-hmm. All of this stuff, they make this crappy claim that nuclear is so expensive. Why don't we at least discuss it? We know that there has to be something more, that, you know, Bowen is so obsessed. I don't know why, but there has to be something more to it. And I don't know if it's algae bags. I don't know what the hell it is.
Well, we do know that Anthony Albanese philosophically has always been against nuclear. And what he doesn't want is to tick off on something that he has, I think, led protests against for most of his younger life. And I've had personal discussions with Anthony Albanese about this, and he says, not under my watch.
Unbelievable. You know, look, he was, pro-Palestine in his younger life.
Yeah.
You know, okay. So it's fine. It suits him to change the narrative, doesn't it, when it's convenient. I don't buy that. I think there's got to be something more. And the only great thing about it is that I think as people's bills go up and up and up, despite all this narrative, these lies, the fact that you've got all the regulator, you've got all the energy companies, everybody is lying to us. But the only great thing is that every month, every quarter, we're getting our bills and we know what they're feeding us is absolute bull. Our bills are going up. All this crap about how we're going to get this tiny percentage of discount, I mean, it's nothing. The bills have gone up about $1,000. We know that. We can see it every time we go to the post box. So, yep. You know, they're just fools. And the only good thing about it is that maybe they'll wake up at the next election and throw this mob of liars and con artists out. But, of course, the damage has been done.
Yeah,
so well much money's wasted.
Oh, so much. You know, I calculated $10 billion, but I wonder how much is really going into subsidies for the renewable industry. I've got to take a quick break for news. We'll come back and we'll talk about this and more with Prue McSween on TNT.
Hey, what are you guys doing?
We're breaking news.
Oh, okay, carry on.
TNT Radio News.
Matt Boylan here with a look at your TNT headlines. Russia claims France is gearing up to enter the war in Ukraine, accusing Paris of preparing to send 2,000 soldiers to the country. US presidential candidate Donald Trump has vowed to keep the US in NATO if he's re-elected, but only if the alliance's members play fair. And the US Supreme Court has given police in Texas the green light to arrest and prosecute illegal migrants who cross into the state from Mexico.
Why not give TNT Radio a follow? We're on all major social platforms, including Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Gab, and Getter. Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time right here on today's News Talk.
TNT Radio.
TNT Radio.
Okay, let's get stuck into some of the other bigger issues that are occurring around Australia at the moment. Prue McSween is with me. I find this decision by Anthony Albanese to cut and run over faith-based schools legislation or reforms and then passing the hot potato on to Peter Dutton, oh, we've got to be bipartisan about this, a real sign that the Prime Minister is now running scared on policy because he's been burnt too many times.
Yeah, I agree. Dennis Shanahan said it so well in The Australian today, that he's weaponising bipartisanship. shit, Pippa. Sorry, I've got a dry throat. And I think that's true. You know, he's trying to drag Dutton in to take the heat and to share the, you know,
any
the
negatives.
Fact that there's going to be a lot of dissent. And, of course, he's wanting to be, he's the hollow man who wants to be all things to everyone. He wants to appeal to the alphabet people and the younger people. But he also knows he's got faith-based schools in his Muslim electorates that he wants to keep happy, who want to have the right to employ only Muslim teachers, not have trans teachers or gay teachers. So the man's sort of walking this tightrope, as he does in so many areas where he has no courage of his conviction. He is the hollow man. He's trying this ploy, but it's just an, you know, he's trying to drag Dutton into it when really he's just hiding his ineptitude and the fact that he can't deliver on another pledge.
Yeah.
This was, again, another promise that pre-election that he will not be delivering.
Yeah. And the reason why it's so cynical is because the coalition doesn't hold the balance of power.
No.
Like, that's just like, let's find a party that doesn't hold the balance of power to get into bed with. Why?
Yeah.
Why? Well, so that they can share the negative where.
Exactly. That's we can all see it. This is where I find it amazing that whoever is advising him, if he's taking any advice, is totally off the wall. They're really treating us with contempt because we're on to him now.
Yeah.
He's done it too many times. We think he's a liar. He try, you know, he says his word is his bond. Well, God help what his bond is. I don't know what his bond is. You know, bondage maybe, but maybe we'd all like to just tie him up for God's sake and shut him up, gagging. Because what every time he opens his mouth, you have to check, you know, is the sky, you know, is it really what he's saying? Is the sky blue? Is the sun out when he's telling us it is? You know, the man is just on another planet, I believe.
Yeah, and did you notice when he turned up to some of the cricket games and the tennis games late in the summer and they started booing him? I always reckon that that is a sure sign that the Prime Minister is on shaky ground at the next federal election.
100%. I actually think there's a strong case for them to be a one-term party because when you look at the performance, and it's not just Keith Albanese, he's shocking, but you've got Gallagher, you've got Miles, you've got, you know, the whole bank, you know, the fact that you've got Burke who loves to just spend our money. Bowen is the worst.
Oh.
Their whole lineup, is there one good one? Wong, the mean girl. Well, we know she speaks with from two sides of her mouth too.
But she's the only competent one. I know she's playing the Labor game when it comes to Gaza, but I think that she's the only competent one. The rest of them, you wouldn't feed.
No, you wouldn't feed. Giles, look at them all. Claire O'Neill. You can't name one other than Wong.
No.
Who I still think is pathetic, but she's a lot better, I agree, than any of the others. So why would you give them another chance to stuff up this country? And I just hope that all the people who got conned by them, who believed, who was seduced by this stupid pledge of 275, and then they were going to be making everything better. Well, I just hope they hang their heads in shame and realise that if you vote in, I know that Morrison probably had to go, but did we really need to suffer this? Did we? The cost to this nation of having a Labor government will be paying for decades.
All right, I want to talk about this amazing story out of Hobart. A man denied entry to a ladies-only lounge at the Museum of Old and New Art. It's a place called Mona in Hobart. Has complained that the artwork is discriminatory. Now, the ladies' lounge is the work of artist Kersha Kashiel, who argues it's a place for women to retreat to escape the patriarchy. New South Wales resident Jason Lowe visited Mona in April last year and was denied entry because of his gender. He's complained to Tasmania's Equal Opportunities Commission. I don't know why people have the time to do this stuff, but anyway. But there was a hearing held in Hobart yesterday and it was very arty, Prue, with a large group of women dressed in navy blue and pearls attending in support of Mona's stance. What a hoot.
Look, it's fabulous. And this is what I love about Mona, because That is the whole point of this ladies' lounge, to demonstrate the historical discrimination that women have experienced for decades. And, you know, the bloke didn't get it, didn't see the joke, didn't get the message. But, you know, he's probably lucky he didn't go into the wall of vagina's room. The bloke would have had a heart attack probably if he'd gone in there. But I just think it's so clever. This is where Mona is so brilliant. It will be fascinating, though, to see what the discrimination, you know, Sheila or bloke, whoever it is, what their finding is going to be, because, you know, they're a tough crowd in Tasmania. I've had my experiences with them, and it ain't good. It costs you a lot of money. But in this case, I think that their point is so valid. Women were discriminated against. They were not allowed into the pubs. They had to go to the ladies' lounge where they had to pay more money. And, you know, it's still happening. You know, a lot of bars are still discriminating against women, so and other venues. So I think it's really fantastic that they've done this. I'm not a feminist, but in this case, it's a great artistic point that they're making. And this stupid, dumb man fell for it.
Yes. Doesn't he have something better to do? Like, seriously.
Bloody idiot.
I want to talk about a story that Shari Markson has in The Australian today, reporting that the National Security Committee, think security, viewers, think security, has now added the Climate Change Department Secretary to the panel. I'm just trying to work this out. Climate Change, National Security. But at the same time, they've taken off the boss of Asia. WTF, Prue.
Exactly, Smithy. So we have been drinking this Kool-Aid so long that so what are they expecting? That in fact, maybe the sea levels will drop so much that China, when they sail their ships in to take over us, well, we'll get marooned. Is that what did you think that could be, a Smithy?
Or I've got maybe it now.
They're going to die of heat stroke, or, I mean, it's just unbelievable. And unbelievable that Bowen would even insist on it or suggest it, and that Albanese has fallen for it. And what the hell are they discussing if they don't have the ASIS and the ASIO chief inside that room? I can't imagine what they're going to be talking about, or what are they hiding? And this is what worries me. It coincides with the Penny Wong Chinese foreign envoys discussions. What's being promised? What's being discussed? What's going to happen in that cabinet room that our security people can't hear? It's just, apart from the bizarre link, I mean, there is no link with climate change, for God's sake, other than these people.
Or maybe because there's double the number of cyclones, except for the last 5 years, we need a national, climate public servant to tell us that we can't go in certain parts of the world because there's another cyclone coming. I don't know what it could be.
That could be it, Smithy. Yeah. You know, maybe it is. So, I mean, it's just ludicrous. They look like the fools that they are. But it's really telling. I think you should maybe get a psychologist or a psychiatrist, is my bit, in to try and diagnose what's wrong with Chris Bowen. His obsession must be so great that he looks at everything he does through a lens of climate change.
Yeah.
You know, I just don't get it.
Global boiling. All right. Now, finally, Daniel Craig is no more. We've got a new Bond.
Well, who is this bloke? I mean,
Aaron Taylor Johnson. Never heard of him.
Never heard of him. He was in a kick-ass show. Well, he doesn't kick my ass. He doesn't do anything for my ass. I think he looks pretty ordinary, I've got to say. I would need about 10 martinis to even be turned on by him. So he's going to have
to
work.
He's a 10 martini man.
He certainly is. And I'd need it shaken and stirred if he was the new Bond. I mean, really, give me a break. Can't they do better than that?
He's a bit scruffy, isn't he?
He's scruffy. He looks like a wimp. We don't, you know, we want a real man. We want a bit of guts and arrogance and, you know, all of that biffo stuff. He looks like I could knock him over. He looks like a limp wet lettuce. So, you know, I'm sorry. Try again. 007, nah, 0000.
Zero.
Is what I think.
Or a 10 martini man. I love
yeah,
that.
Yeah, definitely.
Aaron Taylor Johnson. I bet you no one listening or no one watching knows who Aaron Taylor Johnson is either.
No
one would.
No, definitely not. I think they've really got to go back to the drawing board. I could give them a list. Yeah. You might even be right on it, Smith.
I've run out of time. It was wonderful to have you on the program as usual on a Wednesday. You enjoy the rest of your week and thank you very much for your time.
Thanks, Smithy. Have a good one.
Good on you. Director and founder at Verve Communications, Prue McSween. Yeah, does anyone, if you know, if you think I'm stupid and you know this fellow, Aaron Taylor Johnson, and don't say you've read the article, all right, because that's cheating. But if you actually knew him before reading the article about him becoming the new Bond, let me know. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that you've got to have someone super previously famous to be Bond, but that's usually the way it's worked. Usually. Not all, but usually. And what has he done? I can't remember anything that he's done. Now, I have read what he's done now, but prior to reading that, I had no idea. Absolutely no idea. If you have, give us a call. Now, I wanted to, I don't do this often, but to really loyal, long-time listeners and watchers of this program and someone that has been following my shows for quite some time in other places, Jason from New Norfolk in Tasmania, he has a double birthday celebration. He's asked me whether I could pass on the happy birthday wishes to Mandy and Ben. His son shares a birthday with his fantastic mum and, of course, Jason's partner. So Mandy and Ben, happy birthday for this week. You enjoy yourselves and no doubt you'll be looked after by the one and only Jason. There you go. Don't ask for any more birthday wishes, not Jason, but anyone else. Let's go to a break and let's then take your calls. You should know the numbers by now, but if you don't, I'll tell you. From the United States or Canada, give us a call on 1-888-201-6425. If Trump gets into power in November, who else would you like to see him kick out of the country, apart from Rudd and Prince Harry? From the UK, 033-0024-1026. Did you listen to the Farage-Trump interview in full? If you did on GB News, give us a call. And if you want to call from the United, from Australia or New Zealand, you can do so on 1-800-670-310. This is Chris Smith on TNT.
My baby's back from the West Coast.
Here are those pictures that you asked for your school project. First day of school, cute as a button.
So long ago.
Oh, here's Grandma Florence after that flood wiped out the whole neighborhood.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Those beans smell heavenly.
Give Mom a little credit.
You know what? We should make an emergency communication plan. That way we're ready this year.
Oh, thank you.
At my dorm, we have emergency kits for earthquakes and wildfires, but I'm sure there's something more local I can send you with the link.
Okay.
Smart.
I'm coming to share with you guys.
Protect your legacy. Plan for natural disasters today. Visit ready.gov/plan.
Even the thought of dementia can feel scary. It's why we put off getting help, even though we've noticed changes in our thinking or memory. But an early diagnosis can change everything, giving you medical help and a support system around you to help you live better. Start with Dementia Australia's online checklist, because the sooner you know, the more you can do.
This is the Chris Smith Show on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
You know, there's a housing crisis in Australia. We've spoken about it 1,000 times on this program. And a lot of people have got their own ideas and suggestions, and some of them are quite clever. I actually think that part of the idea suggested by the New South Wales Premier, Chris Minns, has weight. That is, building towers to house a lot of people in areas that are not taken up with housing. That is, on literally the transport corridors, the railway corridors, above where the railway tracks are, above the railway stations, perfect places to put real estate because there's no one there to kick out. It's space that is owned by government. And why wouldn't you do something like that? Why do you need a railway, stretch of railway that's exposed so everyone can see it? You can cover it up and put all you need in terms of accommodation. So I think in terms of those suggestions, I think that's a good idea. But there was an article written in the Sydney Morning Herald today that I thought it was worth considering. And it was written by Matt Wade, who's a senior economics writer. And he says, how to fix the housing crisis? Let's start with this de facto tax on divorce. Now, I'll just read a little bit of it because I think it actually has a lot of weight, all right? Carries a lot of weight. In the late 1980s, when Paul Keating was pushing reforms to make Australia more competitive, he famously quipped that if you walked into any pet shop, quote, the resident galah will be talking about microeconomic policy. Today, those pet shop conversations are likely to be about the supply of housing. There's broad agreement we're in the grip of a housing crisis, that a sustained increase in the number of available dwellings is the best way to fix it. The challenge facing aspiring renters underscores the problem. The national vacancy rate has sunk to a record low, 0.7%. Polls show the community is anxious. Last month's Ipsos Issues Monitor, which asks a representative sample, identified three top challenges and housing ranked as the top concern. Understandably, debate is focused on how planning rules should be changed. But in the midst of this crisis, he writes, we should pull all the available levers. Improving the taxation of housing should also be on the agenda, especially the abolition of stamp duty. I always say that stamp duty is not a service. It's just another name for a tax, and you don't even get a bloody stamp. We've known for decades, he writes, that stamp duty, a big upfront levy on the purchase of a home, is economically damaging. Study after study has found it to be Australia's most inefficient tax. The closest thing you can get to a unity ticket in economics is that stamp duty is bad. This is a statement from Brendan Coates, the Economic Policy Program Director at the Grattan Institute. Now, while state governments provide stamp duty exemptions to many first-time buyers, the nature of the tax still affects what properties are available to would-be owners and renters. Stamp duty discourages owners from moving to housing that better suits their needs. Now, he doesn't go into this explanation, but let me give you one explanation. A widower, for instance, after a divorce or after the death of her husband, she's stuck at a 5 to 6 bedroom house on the North Shore somewhere, doesn't want to pay this hideous stamp duty when she really wants to and could conceivably live in a 2 bedroom apartment closer to the city. That would happen en masse if we didn't have stamp duty. And then all of a sudden, all those family homes could be available to families who wanted to purchase them. He talks about the fact that it's one reason there are so many large family homes with multiple spare rooms in the best located suburbs, because when you want to move house, stamp duty is a disincentive. Stamp duty is a de facto tax on divorce, and this is how he explains it, because when a family home is sold to allow assets to be split, the separating couple each need to pay stamp duty if they purchase again. Let me repeat that. A lot of people don't know until they go down that horrible path. But it's a de facto tax on divorce, because when a family home is sold to allow assets to be split, the separating couple each need to pay stamp duty if they purchase again. It is also blamed for encouraging families to renovate when moving house might have been a better option. So you decide to renovate instead of move house. These many distortions mean land is not being allocated to its most valuable use, and that affects everyone, including renters. And one last point, it goes for much longer, but I just wanted to get the key arguments over to you. A 2021 study by the New South Wales Productivity Commission concluded stamp duty has material consequences for affordability by reducing the effective supply of housing and placing upward pressure on prices. So the price of homes, which is out of the reach of so many more people each and every year, you can blame partly on stamp duty. That is another classic reason why we should get rid of stamp duty. Now, governments don't like getting rid of tax, but this is a tax that will solve so many other problems and solve problems that cost government in the long run. That's the point. It's a great article. Sydney Morning Herald. Now, this is a story out of Horn News. Joe Biden fills his campaign speeches with examples of how he has undone the actions of my predecessor, President Donald Trump. But Trump has struck back at his 2024 rival on his most cherished issue. Donald Trump is forcing Joe Biden to build the wall. A Trump-appointed judge has ruled that the Biden administration cannot hold up funds appropriated by Congress to build the big, beautiful wall President Trump promised to construct on America's southern border. Congress allocated $1.4 billion to keep building a wall to prevent illegal migrants from surging across the border with Mexico before Biden ever took office. But Biden campaigned on and delivered open borders and welfare for illegal aliens. And of course, that has gone completely and utterly out of control to the detriment of just about every single city in the United States of America. Now, this is a quote. There will not be another foot of wall constructed on my administration. That's what Biden said at the National Public Radio, on National Public Radio, 3 months before the disputed 2020 election. I'm going to make sure that we have border protection. Yeah, sure. But it's going to be based on making sure that we use high-tech capacity to deal with it. And at the ports of entry, that's where all the bad stuff is happening. He didn't know then, and he doesn't know now how to stop the flow of illegal migrants. Biden barely took his itchy hand off the Bible before he walked into the Oval Office and signed an executive order telling the U.S. Customs and Border Patrol to stop all construction of the wall. We remember that well. He immediately pulled the emergency lever and brought the border wall construction to a screeching halt. The administration then tried and failed to remove border security funding from bills in 2021. I tried to get them to reappropriate it, to redirect that money. They didn't. They wouldn't, Biden rambled. And in the meantime, there's nothing under the law other than they have to use the money for what it is appropriated for. I can't stop that. So Biden did what he does best, break the law. The Horn News article goes on to say he refused to turn over the money Congress had already spent under his predecessor to construct the wall, and that's illegal, said U.S. District Court Judge Drew Tipton, who's a Trump appointee. A Trump-appointed judge ordered Joe Biden to build the wall. You can't do what you did, Joe, he said. Biden acted completely improperly, according to Attorney General Paxton in his official statement, by refusing to spend the money that Congress appropriated for border wall construction and even attempting to redirect those funds. Biden's actions, including his decision to rescind President Trump's successful Remain in Mexico policy, which was a terrific policy, very similar to a policy that you might say works in Australia, in that unless you're processed in another country, you can't actually be processed in Australia. President Trump's successful Remain in Mexico policy, so he rescinded all of that, hold up construction of the wall, cut down razor wire, promise free healthcare to the world, reinstate catch and release, cut down razor wire and weld the gates of the border wall wide open, demonstrate his desperation for open borders at any cost, but Texas has prevailed. As a matter of fact, the last three Republican presidents had a hand indirectly in the Biden border smackdown. And I won't go on. It does explain exactly their role in border policy. But as you can see from what you've just heard, here is a bloke who doesn't know how to stop people flooding over the border. And here is also a bloke who didn't know when he came to power exactly how it would work. He didn't know then. He had no idea then and has absolutely no idea now. And who's suffering? You know, big cities like New York are out of control. All you have to do is have a look at some of the pictures that the New York Post put on the front page most days. It's atrocious. They can't handle that influx. Absolutely not. Now, very quickly, a story regarding trade and China, which I think is worth telling you about. It's been put on the front page of the Australian Online. The Albanese government quietly dropped anti-dumping action against imported Chinese windmills ahead of Foreign Minister Wang Yi's visit to Australia in what is being hailed by Beijing as a good gesture and a sign Canberra is distancing itself from the anti-China position of the United States. Gee, they love sucking up, don't they? You know, Penny Wong, Anthony Albanese, they love sucking up. Anything we can do for you before Wang Li arrives in Canberra? Yeah. Can you get rid of that piece of legislation, or that, not that piece of legislation, that anti-dumping action that you have decided to take China over? Just don't go down that track, and we'll reciprocate when we get to Canberra. They're in it right up to their neck, aren't they? Sucking up to China once again. Foreign Minister Penny Wong said after her meeting with Mr. Wong today that there had been no quid pro quo. Yeah, and I'm an astronaut. This is Chris Smith on TNT.